Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. You are in the game. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great afternoon out there. Have your host, James, here with you. I am joined by our high school correspondent, our idiot savant with high school sports, really. I mean, it truly is. Michael Comer with us right now.
Did you just call me an idiot?
Sort of. Okay. It's a weird phrase.
I mean, I've been called worse, and you know what? All right, you're probably not wrong.
It's a weird phrase, because it doesn't come across like it's a compliment, but it's one of the nicer things you can actually say about somebody, I think, at least. I should look up the definition more. Maybe.
I just heard idiot, and I'm like, yeah. You don't look like my girlfriend.
It seems like a weird way to introduce your co-host. Seems like a very Don Rickles way to introduce your co-host, sort of thing. Yeah. We're here to have some fun. You can go ahead and razz us all you want. You can be Don Rickles to us all you want. Call up 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Michael and I got a lot to cover today. We're going to recap the high school football season locally here. Of course, certainly high school sports still going on. We're going to talk a little River Kings. Want to know how it was over the weekend. Got to catch one of the games. Want to know how Sunday went for you. Talk a little of that. We'll get into the NFL and college football schedules. Talk about our schedule here. And of course, got Game 5 World Series going on tonight in just an hour or two from now. So we got to talk about that as well. But there's one place in particular I wanted to start, Michael, and that is an important one coming up on November 5th. There's a lot of heavy decisions that are going to have to be made by a lot of people. And by that, I mean the NFL trade deadline.
Okay.
I know that there's some other stuff going on November 5th, and it's important. Go ahead and be informed and vote. But I want to talk in the next hour. I get to act like how I really do, where I'm just burnt out from politics, and I just want to talk about the NFL trade deadline.
See, I was thinking, like, am I going to go bow hunting that day? Am I going to go to the bar? What am I doing? I don't know.
Certainly, locally, want to talk about Green Bay and any moves that you guys out there might want them to make or don't want them to make. The Athletic had an interesting report on this, but I can't see it because it's behind a paywall. So we will never know if they should or should. No, I want to hear from you guys. I don't care about that. I want to hear about from you guys what you think. If I'm looking at this team, I see certainly every NFL team has holes in it and everything. And if you're telling me that a gigantic offensive lineman or defensive lineman is available, I'm listening. I'll look into that a little bit. No matter what you're looking at, even hanging on to these first round picks, it's just a low second right now. If things go the way that they're supposed to, if you're a Packer fan,
yep.
You're actually, I think, making a financially smarter move by drafting by getting out of the first round that late in the first round. You can get a top 15 pick. That's different.
Yeah.
But if you're anything after the 15th, you're just paying for hope. You're just paying for expectations and everything. That's what that last 15 of the round is usually filled with. Your guys everywhere from a Lamar Jackson to a Christian Watson to guys that are either going to pan out or aren't. And I'm not. That isn't me saying Christian Watson isn't going to pan out. It's just a broad example of this that's local that local listeners can understand. So to me, I don't understand necessarily the need to hang on to a first round pick just to have a first round pick and paying him first round money. You know, when you could possibly bring in a vet that might be established. Now, it doesn't look like, Cleveland's Myles Garrett or the Raiders, Max Crosby are available. But everybody says they're not available. If you offer them a deal, you got to offer them a deal and they can't refuse.
Yes.
That's what you got to do, Michael.
Yes.
You do something like that, you're talking different. And you see one of those guys in a Green Bay uniform, you're not only doing that, you're keeping them out of Detroit. And I think that might be a bit of an incentive. Yes, a bit of an incentive to Green Bay to do something. At the same time, you can hold pat, and I think you're fine. I think, is it hold pat or hold pack? Is it? I'm not sure.
It's go pack.
Yeah, there you go. Well, of course, I wouldn't get that right.
Yeah, right.
But what do you think when you look at this team and trying to look at it, strictly as just as an analyst, just as somebody who is looking at even looking for holes in the team?
You've got to. I think you just stay where you're at unless someone's going to keep the financial burden. If you're willing to give up something with the trade, but most teams aren't looking to keep financial burden.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that as in Green Bay is going to have to start paying some of these players in the next couple of years. Now, do they keep a Christian Watson? To this point, I'd probably say no. Would they keep Romeo? more than I would think, yes. Mm. And at that point, Reed and Wicks, they're both young enough that another 2-3 years down the road, okay, but we're getting to that point with Romeo and Watson that maybe Watson's part something that you would want to trade to. Maybe you would. Cleveland, I mean, they're offloading.
Yeah.
Oakland, I mean, Vegas, wherever the heck they're from.
Yeah.
They're kind of offloading. I mean, they just got rid of Adams.
Yeah.
So why would they want to get someone now that they're going to have to pay?
Yeah.
So that doesn't. If I'm Green Bay, and Green Bay is very calculated with whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
kind of like St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
They're very calculated. And a lot of those big trades, a lot of them have worked for St. Louis, and some of them for Green Bay. I don't know how many of them have actually worked, but the free agent signings have.
The majority of that's perfect, because I was just going to say the majority of the time when they bring somebody into Green Bay, it is through free agency, not through trade.
They don't press the panic button in Green Bay, and that's one thing that Star Wars, and I've never watched an episode of Star Wars, but I saw it from a comedy senior trip. It's not a very good movie, but it's got some pretty good one-liners in it. But it's a steady as she goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's Green Bay, and you know, I don't get too caught up in it. They've got a lineup. They've got to play. Would it be nice to get another edge rusher? And would I be willing to give up a Preston Smith, for example? I'm not picking on Preston because I like the guy.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to sacrifice him for an edge. But you're not going to get Crosby and Preston straight up. You're going to have to give away a pick two or another individual. And that's where you start chiseling away at the depth. And that's one of Green Bay's best assets right now is the depth that they have.
I'd honestly be looking at corners and depth there and secondary depth before I'd be looking at defensive line. I like the rotation and the guys they got.
Yeah.
And nobody is, you know, obviously all this changes with health and these players about any team. But right now going into it, you've already got a banged up Jair, and he's supposed to be your number one. He's supposed to be your lockdown. I want assurance that I've got depth there with whatever happens with that wild card, because he is a wild card.
He is
one of the more bigger wild cards, I think, in the NFL.
I never, and I am by no means saying anyone's faking an injury or anything like that, but I only saw like the last 5 minutes of that game between the River Kings and having to do a few other things on Sunday. That tight end made a heck of a catch,
mm-hmm.
and that was that. I mean, he went above everybody. He went literally above and beyond.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Jair was quite plant. You know, I think he was just, oh, here's a gift. I'm just going to catch this. This is what it's going to be. And when it didn't happen, kind of looked like a doofus.
Yeah.
And hurt. Kind of save a little face, because I saw a video on the old Twitter machine of him. Yeah, he was walking with somebody, you know, one of the trainers, but he's walking fine, smiling for the fans, waving at the fans, you know, signed a couple things. And I'm like, okay, if he's that badly hurt, he's not doing that.
If there's a guy on that team that cares about image, it's him. If there's a guy who is looking in the mirror before he heads out to the out of the tunnel, it's him. So if we're talking about him worrying about his image and how he's being looked at, absolutely.
Now, if you want to talk image,
if that happens,
if you want to talk image and defensive backs, James, if I had your phone number, I would have called you. If I wouldn't have been up all night worrying about if I got an email back from me on Monday morning, I would have sent you an email. I'm surprised they haven't cut that Bears defensive back who was taunting the Redskins or Commanders or whatever they're called anymore.
Yeah.
The fans, and then he's the one who tips it, and they catch it and they win. I mean, I was watching that. I'm like, oh, good job, Washington. You just blew this one. You know, obviously, I'm a Bears fan. I want to see him lose. And I'm watching that, and I'm standing in my living room. My grandma's watching it with me, and tips it up. They caught it, and I just yell, you know, throw my hands up in the air and yell, and startled her. And she's like, well, what just happened? I said, the Bears lost. But if you want to talk about that, That's kind of the same thing. I'm surprised they did not cut him because we've seen people get cut for less.
I can't believe it took 3 days for somebody to finally like hit me with this. I was a little disappointed out there that I didn't get more heat for this one with the Hail Mary and everything. Terry brought it up this morning on the morning show, and nobody had brought it up until then. I was a little surprised. They ain't going to cut him because he's too talented, and no different if he was wearing a Green Bay,
right.
If a Packer safety did that.
Right.
And it's also a thing in life. He did something mentally wrong. He did something wrong on the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs to be corrected for. He's a young athlete.
Yep.
He's an idiot, and he admitted that. He admitted it, and he owned it. And in our society, we are too quick to throw people away when they own their mistakes.
Yeah.
We need to be able to be better about that. At the same time, you could do two things at once. What a boneheaded, dumb move. I'm yelling it at the screen as I'm watching him do it.
But you better learn from it.
And all that, yeah. You got a team that's not only young in Chicago, but a team with no real true leadership outside of one or two key positions. And even those guys are not necessarily...
No, they're not, guys. Right.
Keenan Allen's not going to rally the whole team. He's a leader, but he is not going to lead the whole team.
Yep.
He can lead maybe the receiver room, maybe Caleb in the offense a little bit. But he ain't doing anything on the defense. And on that defensive side, the last leader you had, you traded to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And you didn't even get a good pick for him, Roquan Smith.
Yep.
And I'm not even sure how much of a leader he is when I see some of the boneheaded things he's doing in Baltimore lately.
Yep.
So it's tough to find leadership in the NFL. It's tough to find it even harder in the coaching staff. That young man has been taking a lot of heat, as he should.
Yes.
But that would not have happened under Lovie Smith. That would not have happened under Mike Ditka. That would not have happened under certain coaches.
Right.
And if you have the right coach in there, hey, Matt Eberflus, nice makeover. You look great, man. I'm really happy for you. I hope you keep that look in your next job. I hope you're renting. Mm-hmm. I hope the offensive coordinator, Whalen, is renting. I hope they did not buy a home in Arlington Heights or anything like that.
Right.
Because they are not going to be there much longer.
I don't think so either, buddy.
Here's the nasty thing that I have to admit as a Bear fan, and almost every Chicago fan will admit to themselves, not out loud, but I'll do it out loud. We're kind of happy about this.
Oh,
this is kind of okay. We didn't want this guy. We didn't want him coaching Caleb. We didn't want this off OC coaching Caleb. So this is just more evidence that he shouldn't be in the job. So we can handle, man, if there's anybody that can take a punch, it's a Chicago fan.
Oh,
we
yeah.
can take the punch from the national media and from everybody in our listenership and our fan base, because this the end game. And the end game is hopefully getting this guy out of there and bringing in a good coach. And of course, Chicago has a great history of that. So that'll wait a minute. No, that's not right.
No.
No, it doesn't work. Wait a minute. No, none of this is going to work.
and you know what you're saying about the young man there, it's kind of like Spider-Man. Everybody gets one. That if this is his mistake, okay, you made a mistake, and he owned it up to it. And I applaud him. I tip my cap to him. Cause he's I done screwed up, Aaron. I know, and this is I'm not going to do it again. Good, because if you do. Then I think we talk the old scissors for the cut.
When it's
a habitual thing, and that's where I got really mad with Quay Walker in the first two years.
Yes,
I said I said the first couple ones that he got kicked out for. I said, okay, he's young, he's learning to control his emotions, his temper. I mean, I still struggle with my emotions and temper, and I'm 36. Mm-hmm. I'm not a man. I'm not 40, you know, like Mike Gundy, but close enough. But I think everyone's guilty of that, no matter how old they are.
God, yeah.
You always slip up somewhere. But the thing was, last year, I don't think he got kicked out of it. Was it last year?
I don't think last year. I know his rookie year, it was like two games in a row he did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had three times overall, two games in a row. And then last year, people were waiting for it, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And this year, unfortunately, he should be back this week with that concussion. He cleared protocol, I guess. But you haven't seen it, and he's probably one of your best tacklers on the team.
I hear you on him. I focus. I don't know if I was worrying about anybody. It's not. I'm more worried about Jair Alexander between the ears than I am on his body.
Yeah, me too. A little bit.
If we're talking about defensive back divas, and there's a lot of them, and one of them we just mentioned in Tyrique Stevenson and the boneheaded thing he just did. And how many has Jair had in a short career? I'm not even just talking about things off the field, which there is a list there, but there is certainly boneheaded things on the field that he has done as well. We see this more, and we're seeing this actually a flip happen almost here, where we're seeing more divas in the cornerback position than the wide receiver position, where when we were growing up, it was very much the opposite. It seemed like the wide receivers came in on a red carpet and, you know, wouldn't work if their toenail hurt or something. And now they're all Julio Jones.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, they're all these hardcore players that, are built like Adonises and go out there and will play through injuries and all this and everything. The wide receivers have changed so much. And I'm not just talking about your Jamar Chases and Justin Jeffersons, but I mean, even going down the line to a Tank Dell or some of these lower receivers, they block, they're four down backs. They're four down backs now, the wide receivers. In order to make it in the NFL, you've got to be able to do that. I think that's a really cool evolution of the position, where it used to be even a Keyshawn Johnson, it took him a couple of years to get used to it. Now, get out there. Catch 100 balls. Go be Marvin Harrison Jr. and taking over a game or something like that.
And I think one of the biggest ones still in the game, he unfortunately just got hurt, Diggs. I think he's a bit of a diva on the wide receiver side. And I think he can back it up. He's still a bit of a diva. But then you flip it over, just in the quick remembrance of my cranium here, I would say that when you started seeing the diva defensive back, safety, whatever it was, Revis Island.
Oh, okay.
That was really when I kind of, I just thought about, I'm like, when did that really start happening? Oh, that's when.
I also one of the things I was thinking about this week, and I don't know why, but the Bob Sanders, Ed Reed safety, 5'7" safety that could like hit like a linebacker.
Jim Leonard.
Jim Leonard. There's another one. Miss those safeties. We don't have many of those safeties anymore.
Charles Woodson.
Oh, God, love Chuck. One of my all-time favorite players, Charles Woodson. I want to talk a little World Series before we go to our first time.
Let me guess what you're going to ask me about.
I have actually a couple of things here, but I want to start off with the World Series in general, and actually rewinding a little bit to last night. We are a sports talk show, so we have to talk about the interference by the fans and all that. Yep. But did you have anywhere you wanted to start or anything you wanted to hit off on?
You know, stereotypes are stereotypes. You know, they wouldn't exist if there wasn't something that might have happened.
Oftentimes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're right, but, you know, those... And I'm watching my language on this.
Yeah, I'll get rid of the mute you if you need it.
Yep.
Sensor button.
I can say goons, right? I can say that, right?
I think so. We're going to find out.
All right. Well, FCC's calling. Never mind. Those two goons, they looked like they just got off of a Jersey Shore.
I didn't do nothing. Of all the New Yorkers in that stadium to have that happen to, the two most New Yorkers to have that happen
to. Yeah, he's got his hat funnier. Cocked a little sideways, flat brim. Looked like a total moron, personally. And personal attack, I am. Because you did something that stupid. You could have broke his wrist.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you're just saying, so what? What? Talk about it. What are we doing? It ain't no problem. Oh, shut up. Well, he could have ended his career right there, and maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not when you have that wall that's at that 90 degree, and you're pulling it back. He's already up like this, and I'm demonstrating the motions here, and your wrist's going back, and he's pulling on that.
He's yanking on
him. I'm like, you could have broke his wrist.
Anybody who has ever worn a baseball glove before knows how hard you put that thing, how tight you get that thing on there.
Yep.
Especially if you are maybe the greatest outfielder in baseball, and one of the best that we've seen in the last 20 years in Mookie Betts, and yes, I am biased because he's my favorite player. And I wholeheartedly admit that in going into this conversation.
Oh, I was waiting for him.
Couldn't agree with you more about the injury part of this, and the part of it that is so frustrating too is no matter what they're not going to gonna. They announced that they're not gonna be. They're not allowed at Game 5. Yep. These guys are banned from Game 5. Blah blah blah. Even if they had hurt him, had they not? There's no level of accountability that can equal the damage that they've done.
Right.
Had they hurt the game? Had they hurt the player? Anything like that? Oh, ban him for life. Big deal. Like that's gonna really hurt these guys. Like I mean, get over it. Like that. And it certainly isn't the equivalent of the Dodgers losing the World Series or Mookie right. Betts being out of the World Series or something like that.
Right.
This is my problem with the fans doing that or throwing things on the or some of these things.
There's been a huge outbreak of that.
We need to act right. We need to be better. When we're at these sporting events, we know this on a local level with our referees and some of the way that, you know, at high school games, some parents can be and some of that. We need to act right or we're going to raise a generation of whiny babies.
We already have.
I mean, in some ways. I don't agree with you 100%. I got kids in here every day right. to prove that
but
wrong.
Right, right. I didn't mean that as a whole blanket.
But. Yeah, but we got too many of them. I agree with you there.
Oh, I saw. I got a story for you about that, about the River Kings when we get there.
But with this... it's something that we need to be better as fans if we're to expect better from not only our athletes, but our refs, our coaches, all these other things. It's no different than if I'm going to call out a Sirianni and yelling at right. his own fan base and whining there and everything. The typical New Yorker is, of course, going to back their people, and they're going to support this and everything. But I have no doubt, I will bet anything under the sun, that the true New Yorker is embarrassed by this.
Oh, yeah.
They might not admit it out loud, but this looks bad. And yeah, they won the game, but who's taking New York to win the series? Please call up 715-424-2600. Please tell me that this is going to shift things. This is a Knicks win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hey, we won the playoff game, and New York loses their minds and everything, and then, you know, 2 days later, it's nothing because they lost and they're out of the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, that's what this is. It's a nice last stand. You didn't get swept. Hey, way to go. Way to go, Yankees. And in the process of not getting swept, you lost every little bit of class you might have had as an organization. One really quick note about this that I keep hearing the talking heads talk about. Well, his arm was in the stands, and that's technically not the field. The whole dang stadium is New York's. Therefore, the whole stadium is theirs. If Mookie Betts is found, whatever is in the rules, he's following the rules. And if he dives into the stands and somebody punches him, we're losing our minds. That person's going to jail. This is not that different than that. This right. is very similar to that. And the fact that there's anybody out there outside of a fan promoting this or encouraging this or something like that is part of the issue with sports and part of how we lose sports. Everybody, every old person wants to tell you it ain't what it used to be. I miss the old days and everything. Yep. You want to become, none of us want to become that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be somebody that, yeah, there's plenty of things between you and I, Michael, yeah. that I miss about the old days.
Yeah.
But I refuse to just get stuck in time. I want to go forward. I want to evolve with my sports. I want to be and continue to enjoy the game. Part of that is us evolving with the times and understanding that, hey, we got to act right. We got to act right. better. We got to treat each other better.
You know, there's something that I say. I know my family and some of my friends have heard me say it, and I'm not leaning it in a political sense by any means. But it's sometimes when you're trying to be progressive, you're regressive. And by trying to evolve it, make it better. No, you're making it worse. And some of that has happened in sports.
Yes.
Like for my opinion, the pitch clock. I'm not a fan. Full DH. I'm not a fan either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are aspects of it that maybe that pitch clock did help. Because some of those games get to be 3.5-4 hours, and that's just, oh, my God.
I do love stolen bases are back. That part, yeah, I'm a sucker.
Well, that's because Yadier Molina retired. How many times have we got to tell you?
We got an excellent pitching matchup tonight that Yadier Molina would love to catch.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have Jake Flaherty, Gerrit Cole going up against each other, pretty much the aces of both teams. You couldn't ask for a better Game 5 matchup. Robert's really kind of... I don't want to say he didn't try yesterday or anything, but he threw in a lot of his arms that he didn't really need for tonight and tomorrow yeah. night and all that. I'm curious to see how the Dodgers' energy is. Very interested to see if this did anything for New York or if this was kind of like, hey, guys, we got one. We didn't get swept. All right, let's go to Cabo. You know, I don't know what. I certainly haven't seen – You know, one thing I will say, Shohei Ohtani has shown, there's people that are going to bark about, well, Freddie Freeman's had a better World Series than him and blah, 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 and these things. You know something that Ohtani has shown, just like Freeman and some of these other guys?
Grit.
Like, I've seen something out of him that I have not seen in his career yet.
Toughness.
A guy who is begging to be out there. Yeah. Just get a husk of anything that he could be. Keep in mind, he is still healing from Tommy John surgery while playing this season, where most athletes would have taken the year off.
Yep.
He played for his team.
Yeah, he sat there, I can't throw a ball, but I can hit it.
Yeah, and still out there trying to hustle, trying to steal bases, trying to do realizing, okay, if I can't do this, if I can't add and help my team this way, I'm going to help in this way. Yep. He's everything we ask for out of an athlete. He's everything we ask for out of an athlete. And going out there and doing that as a guy who looks for that almost more than anything else in a player, I've been really impressed by that. Yeah, he doesn't have 10 home runs. He hasn't been breaking some of the records that Freddie Freeman has. We'll have some of that in our stat of the show. I find that even more impressive in some ways. In other ways, it's not as impressive as what Freddie Freeman's doing.
Now, what you saying about that being potential aces in that, that makes me a little curious. I'd have to go back and look at future matchups and stats that go along with it. I mean, season stats, not just playoff stats. Mm-hmm. This almost feels like a must-win for L.A.
Huh?
Because I think L.A. has the better offense, but I don't know if they have a better pitching rotation top to bottom. I mean, Kershaw's old. I get it. I get how all that works. But that's why I am sitting here and like, this could be, if L.A. doesn't win it tonight, this could be what slides it a little more interesting towards New York. And no one wants to see them win, but no one wants to see LA win. I just hope they both have fun. I don't really care. But this is the one that I'm wondering about.
My grandfather used to say around this time of year, every 4 years, it's James, it is the choice you have to make of the lesser of two evils. That is what we are doing with the World Series right now.
Yes,
we are just
deciding between
one empire and the other. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll come back. We got a stat of the show for you. We're going to talk NFL and college football schedule, talk a little River Kings, and talk about our schedule here at WFHR. Michael and James coming back here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're here to have some fun and take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about, and we're able to do it thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Go there on A Street to Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Support those that support us. Michael, I got our stat of the show, and then I want to talk a little River Kings with you. Saw a graphic during the World Series of Anthony Rizzo. I'm a big fan of Riz. Actually, my first real official game at Wrigley that I got to go see was his first game as a Cub. He was supposed to be called up for the next game, but came in, the pitch hit, and had a stolen base. It was exciting. It was kind of cool. And certainly with where he would go on in his Cubs career, I enjoyed him. I enjoy him as a player. So he's up to bat, and they show a graphic of how many times he's been hit by pitches in his career. And it was one of the funniest graphics I've ever seen in my life. I may never see a funnier graphic, because they had the player fall down after all the balls come in. You got to look that one out. It's hilarious. I don't even know why they really played it, to be actually honest. But they were talking about this, and it got me thinking, as many other sports people out there, I'm sure, of who's got the record? Who's been hit by pitches the most? And there's a couple of interesting names that I think that we can think of.
One that I can think of is, I remember seeing the stat, not that stat, but a stat, the old Houston Astro, Biggio, he got plunked a lot.
Yeah, and it's great note on you. You got some points for that one. So really, the modern era record is Biggio.
Wow.
Let me get this. Get the winning bell in there. There we go. Make it official.
And like Charlie Sheen, I'm winning. Yes.
Nicely done. As far as going dating as far back, though, Huey Jennings holds the Major League Baseball record for the most times hit by a pitch in a career with 287 pitches between 1891 and 1903. Remember, like, like it was yesterday. Craig Biggio of the Houston Astros holds the modern era record with 285. So he's just a couple away.
Yeah.
He pretty much has the record.
Come
as
back
it
out
is
of retirement, Bish.
I wonder, just to get the record.
Mr. 3000, come on and do it.
I'd love to see that. That'd be hilarious.
It'd be worth it.
It would be. In 1898, the Orioles were hit by 160 pitches in 154 games, which was more than the combined total of the St. Louis Browns and Pittsburgh Pirates of the era of that year.
I'll stop crowing the plate.
It's an interesting stat, and it's just something I never would have thought of. And we get to shout out Mr. Jennings here. I thought that was kind of fun as far as stats of the show. But Freddie Freeman really steals and has to take the spotlight here, not just with one, but a couple of records broken here, whatever happens with this World Series. He has, of course, the first walk-off Grand Slam in World Series history, the first player with a home run in the first four games of the World Series. He's also the first player with a home run in six consecutive World Series games, and the first player with 10-plus RBIs in the first four games of the World Series. Is this the new Mr. October?
Might be. With that stat line, you got to think about it.
It's not three homers in one game, but even Reggie didn't do all that. That's a very
It's not Albert Pujols, you know. That's
right. It's odd with Freddie Freeman, where he's had this incredible career. And if you're paying attention to baseball, you know who Freddie Freeman is.
Oh, yeah.
My dad and I are in a fantasy baseball league together. We've been doing this for like 10 years.
You got to like him.
You got to like him. But it's almost as if he's just kind of done this almost nonchalantly, too, where it's on a bum ankle and he's doing it where the big star, he's not the biggest star on the team. In other times, maybe he would be in other versions of this team. So it's just been an impressive run from him, from the whole Dodger staff. Freddie Freeman's last handful of World Series games, going back to 2021 Game 5 home run, 2021 Game 6 home run, 2024 Game 1 home run, Game 2, Game 3, Game 4, home run. And unlike Giancarlo Stanton, who either hits a home run or strikes out, gets thrown out at third base or something. Yep. This guy's contributing in every asset of the game.
Oh yeah,
it's an impressive run. And this is why I love the World Series, to see these guys step up in these moments. Mm-hmm. I don't got a Freddie Freeman jersey. I'm not a Dodger guy, but God, I love this part of sports when you see these guys excel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he was in Atlanta, if I remember right, as well, and it was cool seeing him do that too. I looked that up because I was. One name I almost said instead of Biggio was Jackie Robinson. I only saw 72.
Yes, only 72.
And in that era, the literal crap he had to put up with, I would have thought he got plunked a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see that he isn't actually in the hundreds or anything. It's kind of it's weird where we find hope sometimes, but hey, that's kind of cool.
That lifted my mood a little bit instead of this gloomy weather. I mean, I'm just like, wow, that's it. Good.
I want to. So we certainly got the World Series going on. We can talk about that any bit you guys want to. But for right now, let's go ahead and shift gears and get to the ice and get to some River Kings hockey, where your Kings had a great beginning of the homestand here. I was able to be at Saturday night's game.
Saw you running around.
It was a blast. I know how I felt being there and having the team back home. I got to see you and Coach up there talking a little bit and watching you getting yourself set and everything, and it looked like you guys were having just as much fun as we were in the stands.
I'm there for them, so I mean, I've got to make it interesting and stuff like that, so having fun up there. And it was just kind of, when is one going to hit the back of the net? I mean, when you're dominating the ice, and that's one thing that one of the River Kings players, Rory McGibbon, he was on the air doing color with me and watching that, and when are you going to get him in the back of the net? Because that goalie, I think it was Height was his name.
Yeah, yeah.
He was standing on his head. He was playing well. He was brick walling him. And then one falls in, another one falls in, and then you have to empty net to end it. He did a great job. They weathered the storm, but then the dam broke on Sunday, and that got a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. A heck of a lopsided victory. I mean... the way as well as Hudson played in the first game, it seemed like all that went out the window in game two there.
Right.
I don't know if there was just being a noon start time and an early start. These guys didn't even have more than 10, 15 hours to get off the ice and rest those legs.
Yep.
But it didn't seem to affect the Kings that much.
No.
So there's a difference of being in your own bed, but none of these guys are in their own beds. I got one kid from Rapids here.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe. But none of these guys are in their own home bed. So even that doesn't play as far as, like, you know, home field advantage or home ice advantage or anything.
I think, you know, I had heard a few things about Hudson, and I mean, it's hearsay, so I don't really feel I need to go really too far into that. But I'll tell you what, I give Hudson credit because they didn't get cheap. They didn't start throwing punches. They didn't act like, again, goons out there.
Yeah.
They played. And yeah, there was some pushing. There was some shoving. That's normal in hockey. And there was some foul language. But that's hockey. That's any sport, really, anymore.
Yeah.
So I tip. And Hudson, as I said several times, it's like, well, some days these happen. And I Hudson's a very well-run organization. They've had a lot of success for the short time that they've been in the league. So I you know, it's a rough start to the season for them, but I have no doubt that they can maybe right the ship. I mean, this is not obviously the start they want. And I mean, Rapids, they got 4 points out of it. They moved right back up the standings when they maybe arguably had a little rougher start to the season that they wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting at, what, 8-3-1 now?
Yep,
so.
Yep. And in second place in the division.
17 points.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Behind the Mullets, I want to say. Yes. They got 19 or 21 or something.
Mullets came out the gate the way we wanted to.
Yep.
And certainly have been kind of holding water since, I would say. You know, doing a good job, at least. Keeping where they need to be in the standings, and certainly where their team needs to be, that energy-wise. You want to see certain things out of your team. You certainly want to see a win. That's the biggest thing, of course, all of us want. But I like being right where I can see the goalie. When I'm watching hockey, I'm certainly all into the forwards. My dad was a forward. I love watching the forwards play and everything. But there's some. I feel like the whole game, if you can only watch one thing, if you can only tune into one thing, it's the goalie. That is, you can almost see where the whole game is going from a goalie's perspective and understand the whole game just by watching the goalie. There's so much to be told there. Our goalie in game one,
Shaw.
I was going to mention the young man's name because I was so blown away by him just before the first period even ended. I love seeing what he was doing in practice. I like seeing his attitude out there, and I like seeing his energy. But once the game got going, and he had to take a couple shots.
Yep.
But once he got those out of his system, he seemed so comfortable out there.
Yep.
And I had to remind myself that he hasn't been doing this for the last 3 years or whatever, because it looked like he looked just like our goalies from last year. He looked so comfortable in that ice.
Yep.
A credit to this coaching staff, to him, to everybody being so prepared in that moment. It is one of the more difficult things to explain to anybody in sports is what it's like to be an NFL, an NHL, or a hockey goalie.
Yep.
It's I don't know how to describe it to anybody other than you got to talk to a goalie.
Yeah,
you
got
to talk to one.
There's some interesting cats. That's
they're,
for sure.
They're a different animal, man. They're a different animal.
Guillaume Turcotte, he had a very nice game, and that's that Sunday afternoon game. River Kings got a pair of shutout wins, and that's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge, and you know that was one thing we touched on a little bit earlier. That I saw something I hadn't seen before this weekend at the game, and I think from the best I've been able to research it, it's a newer penalty, and it was abuse of an official. I've always seen unsportsman, like, you know, swearing gets a little too far, push and shoving gets a little, you know, whatever, it's fighting, roughing, whatever, unsportsmanlike conduct, which that is, whatever you want to call it. No, it was abuse of an official. And now he didn't lay his hands on him, which that's expulsion from the game.
Right.
And what really got me on the topic was, when I could hear it in my headphones, I know the microphone caught it, and I'm like, oh no, what he just said, that's all over the air. Well, FCC, leave me be. Then I mean, you know, I apologize right away. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't say it. I didn't tell him to say it. I would have said, keep your mouth shut. But he didn't, and he to the box. Yeah. And as I said, he did not say, you're doing a great job, let's go get a beer after. He did not do that.
Right.
It was a, you're a real blank, blank. Yeah. And I, when I saw that, or heard that, and saw it, because I saw his mouth move, I said, well, that's the first time I've seen abuse of an official.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that's part of it, because we talk at the high school ranks, officiating is so thin. We have to move games. We can't have all these games at once. Yeah. We have to prioritize, because it's a thin official herd. Yeah. And it's a big part of it's now at the high school level, if any of them said anything like that, they're off the team.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. But at the higher level, they catch more abuse. But at the high school level, they get it from the stands.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't.
No, no.
I mean, there's, I've seen some bad officials, and I sit there and I scratch my head. And you've heard Randy and I talk about, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But that's about where it goes.
Yes.
That's about where it stops. And I say, hey, I disagree with it, but you know what? He maybe saw something different because he's a lot closer to it than I am.
I don't care if your team just lost the state championship and it's the worst call in human history. You that ref is a volunteer.
Nope.
You don't get to take out your frustrations on them.
I mean, they technically do get paid per game, but you get what I'm. But they're volunteering to do this job.
And to your point, we don't have enough of them.
Right.
We can't afford to lose the ones that actually know the sport enough to actually ref it or call it. We don't have these games without them.
Right.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to lose any one game. I don't want to lose just one of them. So we need these players. We need these refs and need these people doing this stuff.
One of my former bosses when I worked for the newspaper, Mark Mazzolia, great writer. He's left the industry, unfortunately, because just a great talent. Okay, he became a certified wrestling official. That he would go in before he had to cover the wrestling duel or tournament, or as duels pretty much. He would officiate JV matches. Then when they were done, he would go shower up, change. They'd come back out. He'd do his job.
Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I think that people heard the story. I think before in the off season in the NFL, McCaskey, owner of the Bears, in his private time, that's one of the things he likes to do. He likes to ref high school sports. It's just something he enjoys doing. He loves being a part of things. He doesn't go swinging around. I'm a McCaskey. He just kind of goes in and
you get back
and refs
to the roots.
Yeah,
you get back to the roots, man.
The River Kings are back on the road. Kings are going to be taking on the Steele County Blades over the next couple of days this weekend, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock. Start times for both of them. Kings will be back home, though, coming up on November 8th and 9th, taking on Northwest Express. Be sure to get your tickets and make plans to be there. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. Help the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river, everybody. Looking forward to another great season of River Kings hockey. And a big tip of the hat to you, man. Nice called game. Nicely done. Just like we were talking about the goalie. Got to get that first minute, maybe that first period in. But you got your skates out under you, and you were ready to go. Nice work.
It's still tough. I got a few of the numbers memorized with names now. But it's flying by the seat of the britches, so to speak, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot faster pace than your football, than wrestling or baseball or whatever.
You don't get to breathe when you're calling a hockey game. There is no breathing. And you don't get to blink either.
Right. and God forbid if you have some spit go down the wrong pipe and you start choking.
You better have a good color guy
because that's happened with Randy and I. He'll have a coughing fit or a sneezing fit or vice versa, and we jump in just right away. You got to help your buddy out.
Absolutely.
But it's just waiting for it. It's going to happen.
We'll be back with more show here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out right here in Rapids. I had to. I'm sorry. I mean, this is like the last 24 hours I get to play it. I can't play it after today.
Yeah, but James, for a second tomorrow. There, you threw me off playing. Ooh, nice lightning. Good time with that.
But, yeah, that was pretty good.
But you threw me off because you first took a step to the left and then a step to the right. I was waiting for you to put your hands on your hips. I'm like, oh, we're going back in time.
We will do the time warp after this show. We will definitely be doing it. We've just got a handful of minutes left.
Well, Hoppatootie, bless my soul.
We're just going to... talk and we'll wrap up the show. We'd love to do it with all of you guys. Call up if you'd like to join the conversation, 715-424-2600. I want to take a look at the games that are exciting us this weekend and college and pro football. Real quick before we do that, though, did want to make sure to get this in that there's a couple of MLB Players' Choice Awards were handed out. Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani won a couple of things here, and Milwaukee Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins won the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award, given to a player whose leadership inspires others, and the Philanthropy of the Year Award. So congratulations to him on that. That's nicely done by him. Now, looking at the college football schedule this weekend, looking at the NFL schedule this weekend, some good games, not especially in the NFL slate.
Well, college-wise, from what I see, there's only two games that are top 25 games. SMU and Pitt, that's a 20 versus an 18. But the only game I think we really need to be concerned about, 11 a.m. Saturday, the old fighting Joe Paterno's and the fighting Woody Hayes's.
Come to Penn State.
Oh, I love that commercial.
Oh, I love that
Everyone's
commercial.
Like, Big W on the helmet. Yeah, everyone's like, come to Penn State. God, I love Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno could come out of the grave right now and get me to go give him like a couple laps.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
Joe
me
Paterno
too.
Could easily do that.
My heart would explode, but you know what?
It'd be worth it. Penn State, Ohio State is certainly the key matchup this weekend. All eyes on the Big Ten. We got to like that. And certainly, I think, most of us are hoping, I would think a lot of us are hoping for Penn State to win that one. But I don't know if necessarily, I don't want to assume that necessarily. But I do think that there is we're a little tired of Ohio State. That's pretty fair. That's the nicest way I could possibly put that. I will say Florida Georgia could be interesting. I'm not saying that Florida's going to win.
No.
I just think that it could be a wild game. Like something
it's
weird's
a rivalry
happen.
Game, man. Anything could happen.
Something weird's going to happen in that game.
Wisconsin, Iowa.
That's another
a rivalry game. You never anything can happen.
There is my hot take for the show. I like to have at least one hot take a show. Something weird's going to happen in Florida, Georgia, and Iowa, Wisconsin. Both those games, we're going to be talking about on Monday. Something weird happened in those games. I don't know what, but something's going to happen in those games.
And you know, this is the time of year for Wisconsin, Iowa, always. It's harvest time. Yeah. Farmers are out there. Maybe not this weekend with all the rain. Ooh, more lightning. Yeah. They're not going to be harvesting too much this weekend with all the rain.
Nice.
But that's what it's about. Nebraska, the Midwest. These are the late October, early November weekends that, as my family's farming history, hunting history, these are the ones that, going out, going to do some work or hunt or whatever, come in, get something to eat, watch part of a ball game of our good old Western brothers, and then going out hunting in the evening again.
Just like we're talking about in college football, in the pro game, there are a couple of interesting games, but I think all of our focus is on Detroit, Green Bay.
Yeah.
That is, and also I think that it's not just us locally. I think the NFL as a whole, that is the game of the week. That is the game everybody's looking for. Even with some of the bang-ups to both teams, you're still getting them almost at their full capacity. It was just announced a little bit before we went on air that Jordan Love is, thinks he has a realistic shot to play.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens there. Wouldn't be surprised, I should say, if you paid attention to Coach LaFleur when he was in Tennessee, they did a little of this with the multiple quarterback thing.
Yep.
I could see that there are some plays designed for Malik Willis where he comes out, where they do a bit of a two quarterback system, maybe even in more running situations, bringing out Malik Willis. But regardless of if it's Love or Willis, you're playing with in a good position if you're Green Bay. And something interesting here that Green Bay fans don't experience that often. You're the hunter here.
Yep.
You're not the hunted. You're the hunter.
Yep.
And so you're almost not playing with house money. You want to come away with a win. But it ain't. I heard some people saying today, this is a must win for Green Bay.
No, it's not.
Get out of here with that.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about? Like, there's a billion things that could happen between now and the next week, let alone the end of the season.
Those people were drinking, man.
Absolutely. And need to share.
No. I don't know what they're drinking. But.
Now, I will say, though, you can tell a lot from this game. We'll be able to learn a lot from the game.
Yeah.
But all of that is just data. Like, right. Who knows? I think like a lot of people, we want a good game here.
Yeah, and looking at this slate of games, I mean, that Thursday night game, if we were to look at it from early in the season, that Thursday night game, the Texans New York Packers.
That was
going to be one that that's not really much worth much watching. Miami Buffalo, people say why? Well, Tua's coming back. That I'm interested to see how that works there for him.
It was the best offensive football last year.
Denver and Baltimore. Baltimore just choked last week.
Yeah.
So I want to see how they bounce back. Mm-hmm. Looking at the other one. Falcons, Cowboys. Man, I kind of want to see Mike McCarthy cry and Jerry Jones blast off into outer space.
That is the one where I'm going to be paying attention to the red zone and all that, just out of sheer entertainment. Yep. I don't really care. I just want to see the chaos. Yeah.
But the other one, obviously Green Bay and Detroit. That's the game of the week. I'm not even looking at the Buccaneers and Chiefs anymore because the Bucs are just done with injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other one, I do want to see how the Rams and Seahawks do. The Rams are getting healthy again. And with as bad as that NFC West is, they might be able to put some distance between them and the pack.
It's a good note.
Not
on
the
that
Green
one.
Bay pack, but the rest of that division.
I'm with you on the Ravens-Broncos game because the Broncos are sneaky good in some ways, and I'm curious to see where that is. Safe travels to everybody out there, including you and Michael and Pam over here and anybody else traveling out there. It's getting a little rough. My hot take from Monday, the New York teams, the Giants, the Jets, they shouldn't be able to go. They have to go by the New Jersey Jets and Giants until they're good. Once they're good, they could be New York again. But until they're good, they got to be the New Jersey Jets and Giants. I think that's fair.
How about the New York Packers? They can feel better about themselves.
Great show today, man.
Hey, you too, buddy.
You guys take care out there. We'll talk to you on Friday with more Playmakers here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.